children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to NASC's weekly radio show on Family Matters. NASC, Mothers and Fathers Align, Saving Kids, Kids of all ages and all stages for mental health issues, including addictions. If you know somebody that is struggling with any sort of addiction, drugs, alcohol, gambling, internet addiction, whatever it may be, please have them reach out to us. Our number is 718-758-0400. It is anonymous and confidential. And again, we also service families for all mental health issues, including prevention of at-risk behaviors. So again, maybe you want to jot our number down for yourself, a neighbor, a loved one, a friend, someone you usually would sit next to in shul. And our number again is 718-758-0400. I am very, 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 very honored to have on with us a dear friend, a colleague, Dr. Eric Bornstein, who's a biochemist, a dentist, and a photobiologist. He has been written up extensively for the last 3 years. He's lectured over 30,000 students all over the United States on topics concerning the opioid addiction, opioid pharmacology, recreational medical marijuana use in the United States. Dr. Bornstein offers these seminars and webinars for the Institute of Natural Resources on all these topics, and you can go to the website. I'll spell it out. It's INR. S is in Sam, EMINARS.com. It's INR seminars.com. I'd like to welcome you tonight with us. Thank you for making the time and being on with us, Dr. Bornstein.
My pleasure, Rahama. Thank you for having me, and thank you for everything that you're doing with the MASC organization for cholesterol, most important in today's environment.
Absolutely. And I would like very much to have you on to speak about several topics, but we are going to start today with the topic of marijuana. Parents are very, very, they're struggling very, very much on this issue, being that it is legal in so many different states. And the conversation with children is so confusing as a result of that. So I'd really like to start with today's marijuana. How is the potency? How is it different? And what was available in 1920 and 1950 in 2010 and to date, please?
Today, the marijuana potency is much, much higher than it's ever been in the past. We have never in human history had marijuana of the potency that we have today. The marijuana that kids, for example, I'm living in the New York area as you are, and if we remember back to 1969, about 50 years ago, the Woodstock music festival, when marijuana really started gaining a foothold into young people in America, the potency of the marijuana was 1% THC. THC is the psychoactive component of marijuana. It's what makes people high. It was 1%. That's all we had, because it was only a couple of years before that, 1964, that a couple of enterprising Israeli chemists actually figured out what THC was and were able to measure it in the marijuana plant. So by 1969, we had a good record of what was available, what was out there, and most of the young people at Woodstock who were smoking weed or marijuana were smoking this 1% marijuana, because that's all there was. Well, once biopharma figured out what THC was, they got involved and began trying to boost the production of this chemical in the marijuana. So by the time you hit 1992, 1993, if everybody remembers, that's the year Bill Clinton said, I smoked marijuana, but I didn't inhale. Well, the marijuana that Bill Clinton wasn't inhaling was already 3 or 4% THC. By the time we get to 2010, it's now at 12% THC. And by the time we get to 2020, where we are right now, you can walk into legal, if you can imagine this, just imagine I'm saying this and every bit of it's true, you can walk into legal marijuana recreational dispensaries in 14 states in America, in legal medical dispensaries in 33 states in America, and put your money down and purchase 35% THC marijuana. This is nuclear strength marijuana. This is stuff that we've never seen before. So for anybody's out there who's having a discussion with their children, they say, well, it's really not that bad, and you did it when you were in college, or I've seen what was at Woodstock, or I've read about it, it's not that bad. We're not talking about a 35% increase in THC level. We're talking about a 35X, a 35 times increase from what it was just 50 years ago. So the marijuana of today is exceedingly dangerous, more dangerous than you can ever imagine. And that's before we get to the concentrates, like things they call dabs and butters and shatters, that kids also buy at 50 and 60% THC. Then, of course, we get to the vaping devices, which are what all the kids are looking at today, with 85 and 90% THC. Again, the marijuana that parents were used to back in the day, that marijuana was 1%, 2%, or 3%. Today's marijuana, 35%. Today's concentrates, 60%. Today's vape devices, 85 or 90%. More dangerous than you can imagine.
Frightening, very frightening. And kids are confused. They see that it's legal. Parents don't even know how to respond to their children when having the conversations. And a lot of kids, this peer pressure, doctor. Let's be realistic. Kids are in school. Kids are, you know, out on the streets, hanging out. Somebody offers them. It's very difficult to say no. A lot of kids give in to peer pressure. Great kids, no issues going on at home, strictly peer pressure. So what should parents be looking for today in their child's rooms?
Well, there's a couple of different things that parents should be looking for. First of all, you should be looking for any strange-looking pen devices or electronic devices that look like pens or look like long metal cylinders. These are potentially vaping devices. Every parent probably understands, if they're at least 35 or 40, what traditional marijuana smells like. So if you smell the skunk or the terrible odor that marijuana smoke gives, you can say, oh, someone has been near someone smoking marijuana or smoking marijuana. And if you see traditional paraphernalia like rolled paper, burned paper, ashes, stained on the fingertips, you will think traditional marijuana. But the problem today is there's less and less kids smoking traditional marijuana. They're now all about the electric devices, the vaping devices, the mini hookah devices, the dabbing devices. And these are all electronic devices with lithium batteries that have heating filaments that heat up high-potency marijuana concentrate. So if you see a funny-looking glass device or a long, thin pen device that you don't recognize, or something that looks electronic but you're not sure that you don't recognize, odds are that could be a vaping or a dabbing device that your child is using. And this can come with THC in it, which is from marijuana, can come with CBD. It can say CBD, which is actually legal across the entire country today, but really have THC in it. Also, very unfortunately today, kids are getting into marijuana alternatives. if you see anything that says salvia or anything that says kratom or anything that says K2 or anything that says spice or marijuana or THC, any paraphernalia with any of these logos on it, it's time for a major intervention with your kids, because every one of these products is deadly, dangerous, and your kids should be nowhere near it.
So you bring up the word hookah, and for those that are not familiar with it, can you describe exactly what a hookah is, and is smoking a hookah worse than cigarettes?
Yes, the hookahs and the e-cigarettes, or the vaping devices, e-cigarettes, are worse, because they allow the child or the person or the adult to consume and inhale very, very high potency, very strong THC. They take all different shapes and sizes. It might look like a strange glass bulb. It might look like half of a light bulb sitting in a bowl with a strange tube coming out of it that you can put on your lips. It might look like nothing more than a bowl with a strange nut or bolt in it and a glass covering that they will steam up some THC gels or butters on, pull the covering off, and breathe in the steam. So anything that looks strange, that you're thinking to yourself, wow, that looks like a strange science experiment or an erector set or a chemistry set in my kid's room, any of that could be any type of hookah. And the problem is now with kids with smartphones and access to computers, you can literally go on YouTube or go, say, Google, Siri, Alexa, if you happen to have an Amazon hookup with one of these Alexa devices, and you can say, how do I make a hookah? What do I need to do this? And you will get a recipe right there. You can order things from Amazon. You can go to Home Depot. You can go to a hardware store. All of the directions to actually make one of these things for any enterprising smart 14 or 15-year-old are right there in front of you on the Internet today. So literally, you have to look for anything that seems out of place and looks like a chemistry set or an erector set.
And they do, you know, they have locally hookah bars. And you can drive down Coney Island Avenue and see, you know, there are several. And I know that the World Health Organization states that when you have a 200 puff session with a hookah, it's equivalent to smoking 100 cigarettes. I mean, that's quite frightening.
Well, the problem with the potency issue is the kids have no idea what they're getting. Ostensibly, kids are not going to be walking into marijuana shops and buying any of these products because they're not 21 years old yet. Of course, it's no different than a kid at 18 or 19 who wants a beer or a bottle of vodka or a bottle of wine. He'll just give money to an older person and get it from them. But at least generally, if you're getting a beer or a bottle of vodka or wine, you know what's inside. With these marijuana contraptions, these marijuana products, you don't know what you're getting. Is it a 4% concentrate, or is it a 60% concentrate? Is it a 70% vape juice? Is it a 90% vape juice? So the whole concept, unfortunately, of this many puffs will be as A, or that many puffs will be as B, only holds true if you actually know what the potency of what you're smoking is.
I know that there are dangerous compounds that show up in urine, besides the levels of nicotine that are elevated in urine, when smoking hookah. And there are a lot of families that mention to their doctors that when their children go for the yearly checkup, to bring up the conversation, check their urine, and have the conversation directly with the young adults, because possibly they may listen to them more than they would a parent.
I think it's a very good idea. I take a very hard line to any young person using any of this. And the reason I do is because I've, as you mentioned at the top of the show, and thank you for doing that, I've spoken to 30 or 35,000 people in the last 18 months in America, parents. And I cannot go into a room, I lecture in hotel rooms, generally hotel ballrooms, and I can't put 100 or 150 in a hotel ballroom of regular everyday Americans from community or not. I've met from both sides as I lecture in New York, New Jersey, Baltimore, all the way from Florida to Colorado. So I get all kinds of crowds that come. And I can't put 100 Americans into a room, into a hotel ballroom today, without hearing tragedies about my son is now hooked on vaping. My daughter dropped out of college in her first year because of smoking marijuana. My son was thrown off the football team because he tested positive for drugs. So when you ask me how I feel about testing a child in a pediatric office, 101%. Until that child is 18 years old, you have the rights to request this test. Say to the pediatrician, I want you to test my son's urine or my daughter's urine without letting them know for nicotine byproducts, for THC byproducts, for opioid byproducts. If you have any thought that your child is getting into these substances for any reason, get the kid tested. If you want your kid to survive and thrive and not end up a statistic, in my view, you need to get between your kids and drugs as soon as possible. And if that means rifling through their rooms and looking for these materials, or getting their urine tested or their blood tested, or getting a sample of hair tested, or however you're going to do it, get it done. Because I'm telling you, it is one of the most tragic and depressing parts of my career in the last 3 years, when I have parents come up to me, from parents and non-from parents, who say, if I had only known, my child is now dead, nebuch, tragedy, my child is dropped out of school, my child is in addiction counseling, if I had only known, get between your kids and drugs as soon as you can. That's my message.
So, but if a parent is rustling through their child's room, they should not confront their child or move anything before you speak to professionals to guide you, because it could only be worse if you do the wrong thing. I just want to put that out there.
Sure.
So, doctor, you know, today the marijuana, many different ones don't even have a smell. So parents may not know about it. What are some of the signs and symptoms of marijuana use?
Well, the signs and symptoms of marijuana use, first, you might smell something. You could smell a faint whiff of flavoring. If suddenly your child smells like blueberry or strawberry or mint or bubblegum or cotton candy, for some reason, these are all flavorings that they can now get in different types of vape products and different types of dabbing products. Of course, THC also comes in edibles today. So your kid may be getting THC candies and cookies, which are even harder to figure out. But let's just stick with the smoking and the vaping for a moment. Your child is going to have behavior changes. You're going to find that they're going to lose impulse control. They're going to have mood changes. Just like any adult who doesn't get his cigarette on time or needs that cup of coffee on a fast day, or you know, your angry uncle, if he doesn't get his drink at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you know he's going to be angry and upset. These are the same mood changes that you're going to see in your kids. And if they're really hooked on nicotine or on THC from marijuana, they're going to look for larger and larger amounts. They're going to want to stop but not be able to. They may be constantly asking you for money. Could be that the money you give them for pizza, you know, on Matzah Shabbos or on Sunday to bring home pizza for lunch, the change suddenly stops coming home because they needed to buy stuff for their habit. They may remove themselves from family situations, thinking if everybody leaves the house and leaves me home because I say I have a stomach ache or I just don't want to go, that'll give me time to get high. There's a lot of different behavioral changes you'll see in your kids if they're trying to go out of their way to get high and do things like that. And then as far as what you'll see in their schoolwork and what you'll see in other areas, you will definitely see that your kids will have a hard time learning. They may suddenly drop grades in school significantly. They won't be able to make new memories. They'll be forgetting things that you told them. And you'll say to yourself, wow, you know, they never used to forget this stuff before. What's going on? They'll have less of an ability to think critically and clearly. They may start doing just really stupid things. I mean, beyond what you say, oh, as a teenager, that's what they do. I mean, really things that you can't comprehend. Why in the world are they doing that? They'll have reduced ability to make sound judgments about issues. You may even see them stumbling around a bit, like they're drunk if they're high. So there's a lot of different things. And if you know your kid well and you're a person who looks at what your child is doing with a critical eye, you'll be able to tell beyond the smell and beyond finding paraphernalia if your child isn't doing well.
Let's talk about the parents if they're not on the same page. You know, not every parent feels that they should have a conversation early with their child for prevention. Not every parent feels that they shouldn't have that conversation. What happens when the parents aren't on the same page on this very topic?
In my view, again, I take a very hard, straight line with this. You need to be honest and upfront with your kids as early as possible. This is what's going on. This is what is going to be offered to you. This is what you're going to see. And this is why you shouldn't do it. And you need to lay down the law with your kids early. If you don't, your kids have a much higher chance of getting involved with this stuff, exactly for the reasons you said, Ruchama, earlier, which is peer pressure. Your kids are at school all day. They're on the bus. They're walking home with their friends. These are times you're not in control of them. You don't know what's going on. Hopefully they have good friends. Hopefully the Rebbes are looking out for them at yeshiva. Hopefully, hopefully, hopefully. But you must get the courage to confront your kids. You are not your kids' friends. You are your kids' parents, in my view. You need to act like parents and make sure that you protect the kids in your charge. You need to protect these neshamas from these materials. The only way to get between your kids and the drugs is to confront them about it and let them know how dangerous it is and what's going on. Speaking to mental health professionals is more of your purview than mine. That's not something I've studied a lot in my day, which is mental health. I've studied a lot on the other side that we're talking about. From my view as a parent, and I have three young people. I have one in their 20s and two teenagers right now, always from a very young age, said to them, this is what it is, this is where we are, and this is what's going to happen in my house with you if I catch you doing these things. And thank God so far I've been able to keep my kids away from this stuff. But I have just tragedies I hear from good parents, good people, Jewish and non-Jewish, around the country who are crying to me in my seminars around the nation, who did not have the discussions with their kids, who did not find out what the kids were doing, and now the families are completely broken apart. Garner the courage. Get yourself together. Have this discussion with your kids. You just need to do it.
Right. Doctor, you say kids. At what age do you recommend that parents have the discussion today for a firm religious family?
I would probably say starting right before Bar and Bas Mitzvah. In the world that is not the firm world, you see younger and younger kids getting into this. In the firm world, I usually don't see it before 12 or 13. So I would say when the kid is getting ready for the bar or bas mitzvah, and that's when they're old enough to really start thinking they're going to become a Jewish adult and these are their responsibilities, I would start having some conversations then. And they may look at you as a parent and say, oh, I know about all this stuff, and you don't have to talk to me about it. Talk to them about it and say, you may know about it, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway.
And I do want to bring to the attention of all our listeners that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids have died from drugs and alcohol and vaping poisoning. So it is out there. We are not making this big deal. We are being very, very honest, and we're being realistic when the doctor says, speak to your children before Bar Mitzvah. Because when I started Mass, we're in our 23rd year, over 100,000 families have reached out and been to us, our programs. All I could say is that when we started, the age was older, the age was 14, 15, 16, and today, over the years, the age is elementary age. It is before bar mitzvah. 12 and 13-year-olds are on the street doing drugs. So this is a serious conversation that we all need to have with our children. So, Doctor,
if I could mention one more thing, Ruchama, that I think is very important. Because all of this information is so readily available on the internet today, it's my view, every parent can parent their children however they desire. It's my concerted view, and in speaking to, again, parents for 35,000 students around the nation in the last 2 years, it's my concerted view that if you give a child anywhere from 10 to 15 or 16 a fully active smartphone without parental protection on it, you're giving your child a loaded gun and saying, here, go play with this.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up. It's not today's show, but I'm very happy that you brought that up. And parents need to really think. Unfortunately, we have so many kids that are exposed innocently to pornography. They're exposed to and social media bullying. There's so many things that are going on that parents aren't even aware of when they hand them their phone. So, yes, Dr. Thank you for bringing that up. So let's go right now to, and that's a whole nother conversation. Let's go back.
Yeah, I mention it because of the access to drug information on the phones.
Yes, yes. Let's go back to the links between today's marijuana and increased depression and suicide and attention deficit and decision-making problem. Let's talk a little more about that, please.
Yeah, because the marijuana is so high today and because the potency of the THC is so high, THC in these young brains will cause an amazing increase in the level of dopamine. Dopamine is the pleasure chemical. Adults have a large dopamine rush when we go and see a comedy, we have a nice meal, we're with our spouses, we'll exercise. We get a very nice dopamine rush. Kids will experience dopamine if they eat chocolate ice cream or they have cotton candy or they go on an amusement park ride. The THC raises the dopamine level in the brains to levels just quantums higher than that. And when the dopamine goes high, in the what's called the prefrontal cortex, or the part of the brain in these kids that is not fully formed yet, remembers that they felt this good and they felt this high simply by taking a smoke or a vape. That's part of the addicted personality. And when they can't get it and they go down, they will be depressed. They will quickly get addicted. They will get despondent. And that will turn into suicidal ideation. The THC itself causes incredible attention deficit problems, memory and motivation issue problems. So the potency of the THC, what flows down from that, are all of the problems that we just discussed.
Well, we're running out of time. We need to get back on with you, Dr. God willing, in the future to continue this most important conversation. I'd like to thank you and your company for being on today with us. Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Good luck.
And if anyone needs a referral, once again, 718-758-0400. And like Dr. Bornstein said, that you should have the conversation. Please talk to your children early on. Don't wait to find out that they're doing marijuana. Go and speak to them today, tonight. Thank you. And I want to wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, and now a virtual hug tight. Thank you, and have a good night.
Hey, New York, let's protect our children. Look for signs of multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children. This is a new health condition associated with COVID-19. Seek care if your child has a persistent fever and any of these symptoms: irritability, sluggishness, abdominal pain, diarrhea, vomiting, lack of appetite, red or pink eyes, red cracked lips, red tongue, swollen hands or feet, or a rash. If your child is severely ill, go to an emergency room or call 911 immediately.